Welcome back to the Cloud Machine Podcast, your all-access pass to the music industry. Every week, we immerse you in the music world, uncovering industry insights, offering expert guidance, and exploring the stories that influence the music industry. Cloud Machine Podcast is brought to you by Aites, the innovative creative agency behind some of your favorite live concerts and tours. Want to take your music to the next level? Join our vibrant community on the Aites Network Discord. This time, we're on part two of showing highlight clips from previous episodes on the topic of social media in the music industry. You'll be hearing from various musicians, artist managers, and more talk about the role and impact of social media in the music industry, especially when it comes to TikTok. In this first clip, Laurie Liboute, manager of The Beaches, discusses the rapid shifts in the music industry from blogs to TikTok.
Where do you think the music business is going?
It's always changing. Yeah. It changes so much. And even like when I first started 12 years ago, it was like what we had was like the CDs weren't selling anymore. And so and Napster had been ripping everyone was downloading, and SoundCloud had arrived, and it was the beginning of Hype Machine. And so people weren't selling records. The industry was getting really small. Everyone was kind of really scared. But here was this weird thing, Hype Machine, that could blow up songs in a day.
Yeah.
And that's when publications were really important, and getting on blogs.
Blogs, and, yes, yeah.
And not just the pitchforks, the small ones that could impact Hype Machine.
Yeah.
And that was such a huge part of it, and media was so strong, and PR was so important. It was the most important thing, right? And then that changed when Spotify came along.
Yeah.
And Spotify and Apple, and then the thing that was breaking artists was playlisting, and blogs and publications didn't have the same impact that they used to, and it was all based off of, you know, what playlist could you get on.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not the DSPs liked your music. And if you made music that sounded good on playlists, you know, people started making music for playlists. Like, that was a weird area.
Yeah.
Era. And then that changed. And then now, you know, at first it was YouTube, before it was TikTok. So,
yeah.
Like, can you... And Facebook ads and Instagram ads. Like, people were getting really good at digital marketing. People were posting covers on YouTube and doing crazy music videos and having stuff go viral on YouTube and Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gangnam stuff.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah. That was super important.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're kind of in this like TikTok world or short form content world where playlisting doesn't have, like, can't break artists. It's only a part of the marketing plan. And, you know, radio can't do much anymore.
You know,
it's only part of the marketing plan. And it's all being driven by social media and TikTok. And because of the way that the platforms work, especially something like a Spotify or YouTube, it's about driving consumption from, like, a TikTok or an Instagram reel. And then when you can drive fans to the platform, then the Spotify algorithms kick in.
Right.
And then, you know, that's when the platform is being used at its best, because it gets a shit ton of data, and then it's capable of taking that data and being like, we know you will be fans of these people. And
yeah.
So, you know, Discover Weekly or radio or even personalized playlists, they kind of, you know, that's when it really starts working. But it all starts with short form content. Which is very different, because we've kind of seen it's kind of gone from, it's been gatekeepers for maybe like 60 years.
Yep.
And for the first time ever, it's in the hands of the artist. Nobody gets to own who becomes famous.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people get to decide. And so through short form content, TikTok, you know, it's in the hands of the artists. So it's changed. It's hard to, yeah. So the answer to that question is, I have no idea where it's going.
Yeah, what's the next
step? I don't know.
Past that, no.
I just know that, like, you just got to adapt. You're constantly adapting. And when something gets old, you got to study, okay, how did that happen? How did that happen? How did that happen? And like pick little pieces of how other people were able to build careers and then try to find your path that way.
Do you think that it's not on my page here, but do you think that the mysterious artists can still like be a thing?
No, I think that, it's funny because that was also part of the, so when it was based off of gatekeepers, when I started, we had blogs, but before that it was radio.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And so you always had gatekeepers. You had radio, you had publications, you had Spotify, and then you have what we have now, which is like the new world that we live in for music. But you had to be mysterious. You know what I mean? Because you had to kind of, when it was gatekeepers, you had to build like a, almost like a story around what you were doing to get gatekeepers excited. So like, it had to be like, this is cool. And this is, you know what I mean? Like, don't tell them, they have no faces and they don't like, and this idea of what a star was, is they were very untouchable.
Yeah.
They were just this thing, you know, stars and people were just like, they were so different from one another. Mm-hmm. And now it just doesn't work. Like you have to be, I think now the generations have completely changed. I think Gen Z and probably Gen Alpha want to feel like they relate to their stars.
Yeah.
And so when you try to do a weekend, you know, because the weekend was very mysterious, very cool, it just doesn't work because gatekeeper, even if you have gatekeepers, it's not enough to build a career off of. Mm-hmm. And so you need to find ways to get close to people and to connect with people. And like, nobody connects with mysterious people anymore. Like you're not giving them anything.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like some of my favorite bands of all time, like a Radiohead.
Yeah.
Okay? A Radiohead couldn't exist. They could exist and they are still existing in today's world, but they couldn't like restart. Like there's so many artists now that it's like.
No, like Thom Yorke wouldn't be like, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? Exactly. But maybe like, this is the thing is that like everyone gets so, this is why short form content is like more, is like the word over like a TikTok, because I think that like anyone can build a world around themselves. And right. So like Radiohead, I think they could still do it,
but
they would have to tie, like they would have to find really interesting ways to film their live show. You know, like they would have to like a, you know, Jungle brought back the music video. Right. So they would have to, maybe they would invest in crazy, weird music videos, and then just find ways to kind of like grab people that way.
Yeah.
In this second clip, musician Devin Cole discusses Joni Mitchell's critique of the music industry and how it relates to the pressures of social media marketing.
This year is a Joni Mitchell quote, and it comes from a interview from L.A. In 2004. And she says, I heard someone from the music business saying that they are no longer looking for talent. They want people with a certain look and a willingness to cooperate. Now, Joni in 2004 said that she didn't like this. She didn't like this about the music industry, but that's what she's been noticing. And that's a music exec had told her that. Now, what are your first instincts when you hear this sentence? This is also 20 years ago.
Right. Well, I think the certain look thing is still true. I read somewhere that you haven't made it as an artist until you have a unique hairstyle. A hairstyle that's notable.
Yeah.
Like Chapel Roan right now, like I'm obsessed with. You could see that fiery red locks and you just know that's Chapel.
Yeah.
So I think having a look is something that you grow into, but I think that's still important. But I also don't think you need it. Like there's so many examples of artists who don't have a look. Like Noah Kahan is like a regular schmegular guy. And I think that's part of his charm.
Totally. But I guess you could also say that that's his look. Like he looks like Vermont.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I'm wrong.
No. But like,
no, but he still has a look for sure.
Yeah.
He's not a lazy boy, but he's giving Midwest, which we love.
Yes.
But a willingness to cooperate. Does she mean that in terms of like a willingness to be molded? Like, I don't really know what she means.
I think so. That's sort of how I see it.
Hmm. I feel like the best artists are, or the ones who really cut through, are so steadfast on their vision that they won't let anybody, you know, mold them.
Yes. Kind of.
That's something that I've been dealing with right now and that I'm trying to grow out of. I feel like I was a very much a yes person last year, and I was trying to cooperate as best as I could and trying to make everybody happy. Yeah. And something that I've been stepping into is, I don't care if you don't like what I'm wearing, if I like it. I don't care if you don't like the song, because I like it. Like, I'm cooperating less.
Yes. So,
and it's feeling more myself. So I feel like true artists almost don't want to compromise or cooperate.
Yeah, just like not compromise their artistry for others, kind of thing.
For others, totally. Yeah, totally. Very that.
I want to. Sorry?
Can I answer your question?
100%. 100%. I wanted to ask you about your hairstyle. If you had to pick one, if you had to pick a hairstyle that would really define your artistry and your career, what do you think? Maybe it's a prediction.
This is striking another nerve, because I used to have long, long, long curly hair, Chapel Roan-esque, like lioness hair.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got blonde and it all fell out.
No.
It hasn't grown past this length since, but it's on my vision board of when I'm making it, I will have long hair again, and it will be just naturally curly. I have like a natural curl from my mom that I'm really trying to lean into, and I see that for myself. I don't see it a certain color, but I want it to be long and curly, and they'll be like, that's our girl, Devon.
That is fantastic. Oh my gosh, I'm in the dark here with my lighting.
Yeah, figure it out.
I'm coming to you live from this dark hotel room, everybody. I tried to turn lights on, but I can't do this Australian lighting thing.
You're doing so well. I know it's early for you. Like, I would not be up. It's, what is it, like almost 9 for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, well, I'm hearing your jams and you're slaying it.
Thank you. I wanted to ask, still about the industry, music vibes. Music industry vibes is what I meant. How was the business part of you on your end of things? Just like sort of like the business, maybe half, maybe quarter of what you do.
How am I on the business side?
How do you view that? Do you view it as something that you think about every day? Is it very important to you? I know that you have Andrew Manny with you. Yes. Shout out Andrew, which on the day of recording today is his birthday, by the way.
Yes, my sweet manager.
Yeah.
On the business side, what do you mean by the business side?
Just like, you know, as an artist, I believe like in 2024, a lot of your time needs to, maybe not needs to, but a lot of the time is spent thinking about maybe not necessarily business decisions, but strategy and, you know, like things like that. How do you balance that? And how do you view that part of your career compared to, let's say, your writing and the you know, artistry side?
I think with a lot of artists, I'm sure it's a similar answer, but my favorite part is doing the writing and doing the performing. And yes. I feel like no artist's favorite part is doing content and the marketing of it all.
Yeah.
And we're in this new world nowadays where artists are expected to write the music and then also be the ones to market it. Like, I feel like a lot of responsibility falls on the artist. And I read this thing the other day, or maybe it was on TikTok, that artists are the most kind of sensitive people, and some people don't want to put themselves out there like that and be so shameless and be like, listen to my music. But that's like the only way that you can really make it these days. You have to be also a content creator. So for me, it's been a bit of a pulling teeth journey. Like I've heard some people say that they really enjoy my content, which is so lovely. And I'm so glad, but it's not by any means an easy thing. It's something that I have to schedule and be reminded to do because it's my least favorite part. But I think it's just something that you kind of have to do. So that's something, it's not my, the marketing aspect of the business is not my favorite. And I also have a lot of anxiety around releases when it comes time to actually release stuff and like market it and be so shameless. It's like a touch anxiety inducing for me. But in terms of actual like business affairs, like cuts and splits and all that stuff, you're barking up the wrong tree. I don't know anything about that.
But no, but that's fine. And you know, that's why you surround yourself with a team, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you think the industry is going? The music industry, where do you think it, you know, obviously right now we're in this very big like social media thing. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on, but like, you know, TikTok has had such an influence on music and artistry in the over the past few years. Where do you think the music industry is going?
I think it's honestly moving into a healthier place. I think it's going to take time, but I think more recognition is being given to how songwriters literally get paid nothing situation. How hard it is to make it as a songwriter. I feel like there's more light being shed on that. And also I feel like real artists and real music is really cutting through right now. I think it's a really good time to be an artist, A, because you have so much control. Like you can, all you need is a TikTok account and a song to, you know, be involved and to throw your hat in or whatever. That's not the right term. To take a stab at it. You know what I mean?
Take a stab at it. Throw your hat in the ring. Is that a thing?
Yes. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a really good time to be an artist, but I also think that era of TikTok where it almost used to be easier to go viral. I feel like it's very oversaturated now and people are kind of content exhausted. So those stories of one song popping off and then you get a record deal from that, that might still be happening, but I feel like there was a golden era of TikTok where it was happening all the time. And it's a bit different now. I feel like it doesn't happen that much anymore. But I think it's a really good time to be an artist. And I think the music industry is changing for the better, hopefully.
Fantastic. I really do believe so. I think on your point of like, the golden era of TikTok in regards to like discovering new artists, we've had some conversations as well recently where it's like labels are sort of stopping signing like signing artists just based on TikTok and like views and stuff, because they sort of quickly realize that that's not necessarily how you build like a long-term artist, and it doesn't necessarily always work like that. You know, for a long time there was artists that, like, you know, you would go to the show and then all the fans would only know like one chorus of the song, and it was the last song that they played in that night and stuff like that. And I mean, there's that's an era, you know, but I also feel like it's slowly fading away, which is I think a good thing. For the artists that really want to, not that those artists didn't necessarily want to or you know, be there or anything like that. But it just brings the importance back to really doing it from the ground up and being there for a little bit of time.
And I think there's more of an emphasis, I think, in the music industry right now on the value of development.
Yes.
Like with these TikTok stories, and I'm one of them, like it's so mean. I'm so grateful for that platform and that moment. because it got me to where I am today. But there's lots of growing pains that you go through as an artist that, you know, you have to take. It's like, it's not linear at all. So like Benson Boone, for example, is having a huge moment right now, and I love him. He was developing, like, writing for 4 or 5 years before he ever released his first song.
Yeah.
And I think, my label at least has been so patient, and they really value this development, these growing pains. And even like looking at the Grammys, the people who are being awarded Best New Artist or people who are being nominated for it have been doing this for 20 years or.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I've been noticing that.
Yeah. Which is, I think, exciting. I think it's like you can have a long career and have it still just be the beginning. So I think it's the industry's in a good place.
I think one of the biggest examples of what you're talking about is like, it could be Noah Kahan as well. Like I know some friends that saw him at Lee's Palace in Toronto like 8 years ago.
Like that's, totally.
That's in my mind. That's crazy. Because a few years ago, I guess last year, I think, you know, I had never heard of this guy, and my friend Julian, which you also know, okay, we won't go there, but who was on last week, he started working with Noah, and I hadn't heard of Noah before, but like he's about to play Fenway Park, and he just played 3 nights sold out at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. Like it's insane. Yeah. It just blows my mind. But to come back to you know, social media sort of blew him up, sure.
Yeah.
But he had been touring 8 years before that. And we see it with our friends as well, the Beaches. Where it's like they've been a band for like 15 years. Totally. And they were successful. But really this past year or so, just social media has sort of gotten them across the pond, quite literally. And but they're the type of band that was ready for it because they had been doing it for 15 years.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It's a whole thing.
Even Chapel Roan right now, I'm obsessed with her. I can talk about her all day. She was doing an interview and they said, "How do you feel about this new fame or whatever?" She says, "I feel ready. Like I've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
I think people feel like people come out of nowhere.
Yes.
But it takes a lot of development. And I think going back to the TikTok thing, it feels like it's kind of a reality check. There was a reality check for me for sure. Having one big song and then, okay, I'm not really ready.
Sure, sure, right? Sure.
So anyways, there's lots of growing pains, and it's fun to see artists who've been working so hard for so long, like the Beaches, have their moment, because it's so much sweeter then, you know?
I completely agree. And it feels good. Like as a fan, you know,
totally.
of those types of artists, it's like, like you've been doing it for so long. It's almost like a, not necessarily like a Cinderella story, but it's supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be. You work so hard as an artist for a long time, and then you eventually, like, you know, are successful. And you know, a lot of these bands were successful, and that's not what I'm saying. It's just that it's nice to see it pay off.
Anyway. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
In this third clip, Kara James from Valley talks about how TikTok and industry expectations for artists to self-promote are forcing artists to become inauthentic.
I wanted to chat about something that we were texting about modern artists. And you texted me, "I've had a lot of thoughts on this and how artists have become so self-promotional." And you said, "Hot take." So
I did say that.
You did. What are your thoughts on the modern artists and how they need to become, or that they have become, so self-promotional? And it's sort of tying into what we're saying here about TikTok and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even figured it out in my brain. That's why that's why I'm texting you about it. Like, I honestly, like, I don't know. But my hot take on it is, like, how do I word this? if you are a kid in your bedroom and you pick up a guitar and you go, wow, this is magical. Or in my case, I'll just talk about myself. Why am I using an example? I was at my cousin's house on my mom's side, and I don't see them often, but I guess he had gotten a drum kit and he had had it for like a year or two. So he would play like some things, whatever, but this was the first time I had been there and seen it. And he was kind of like, like playing a little groove. And I was like, I can do that. I've never played drums in my life. Why did I think I could do that? I couldn't do it, but I sat on the kit and I just like immediately had this like experience with it where it was magical. It was literally magical touching it. Like the drums, like you probably had the same experience. Like I feel like any like drummer, like as soon as you sit down, you're like, wow, like this is where I'm meant to be. Like it's a weird thing. And I'm sure other people have it in their own, you know, disciplines or whatever. But for me, it was drums. And like, you know, even being the drummer, like I think a lot of the drummers I know have a certain personality where it's like, we like to kind of be in the back, but we like to be the loudest person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sure, I want to be heard in my own way, but I don't need to be seen.
Right.
And all of a sudden TikTok popped up. And me as a drummer, I have to put my phone up and do this and then film. Like what? I don't want my face to be on the internet like that. Like, why did that become a thing for musicians to do? I understand for like influencers and like whatever, like that's what they do. That's how they became to be an influencer because they enjoyed doing that in the first place. But when did that like technique of promotion, like why did that somehow like, why did that give labels and, you know, the suits of the industry, like why did that give them this like get out of jail free card to be like, oh, this exists, go do it and go be famous. It's like, what? Like I did not sign up for my face to be, because, and I came up with this little, like, I don't know, mantra, I guess, where it's like, if I don't want to say it, I want to sing it, you know, like, I don't know, maybe that's already been said before, but I thought it was pretty clever for that. But, when we don't want to say it, so we sing it. And I think our promotion, like our job is to create the music and to sing our feelings and to sing our every little thought, not for me to put the phone up and be like, so today I made a grilled cheese sandwich and the cheese looked like cheese. Like, I don't want to know that. And I don't want to be the person on the other side of the phone doing that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, all of this, like this heavy weight got put on the artist being like, you know, when artists started to be noticed by TikTok, that's artists being discovered on TikTok, not artists that have existed before TikTok and now have to learn how to use TikTok. And like, one could kind of listen to me saying this and be like, well, boo hoo, like adapt, right? Adapt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when the adaptation takes away from the true purpose of the art and that substance to the art, because you're now trying to fit in a very narrow mold of TikTok, and it is narrow. People say, well, it's not narrow because you can find anything on TikTok. No, but you have to, you know, hold the phone, do the Gen Z shake. Then you got to have good lighting. And then you have to do this. And there's all these parameters and like the less edited, now it's more edited, like all these things. And I'm okay, team, if you want us to do that, then you do that for us. Because like, that's not, I have no idea how to do that. Like, and whatever. So anyways, if you're a musician that can do that, great. You will probably win in life and that is great for you. But to generalize and expect, and labels have whole marketing campaigns that the only touch point on it is TikTok.
Yeah.
And we're seeing less of that now, granted, but for a few years, like for, you know, probably 4 years, 3 or 4 years, like it was marketing campaigns surrounded solely by social media numbers and TikTok. So here we are putting all of this time and energy into saying it opposed to singing it. And then my band, I personally completely disconnected from music as a whole. I don't even listen to music now. I don't care. I don't want to hear what's on TikTok. I don't care what's on New Music Friday. To me, it sucks. And maybe my song will get on New Music Friday and someone else will say that sucks. And that's fine, because it probably would suck, because I am now finding my way back to true artistry, because TikTok created such a, diluted
facade or something, or
one size fits all for it. You have to be this way and you have to make this kind of music or you won't get noticed. Music just is clickbait now. It's not actual, like, you can't have an intro. No, you can't have an intro. Sure. Because if you have an intro, everyone's going to skip next on your song. Like, we started making music for such wrong reasons. And yeah, I just, the shift happened. And now we're all kind of like scurrying around being like, wait, I didn't sign up for this.
You're
and
right.
We're trying to find our way back. And I'm trying to find my way back now. I'm trying to sing it, not say it. I don't want to speak. I just want to sing what's on my mind.
So this is a hot take.
It's a
hotter take than I thought it was going to be, but no, it's great. It's a great take.
Oh, you didn't think that I would talk for 5 minutes straight about it?
No. Not like that. Not like that. It's very interesting. I agree with pretty much all of it. I think it's interesting, and I've been having these chats as well on the pod, but off mic as well, about how TikTok has become so self-promotional, but it's not necessarily like the label's fault. It's very much so on how the platform is, because it's all like, it's basically, TikTok is all about who you don't know and discovery, while Instagram was like who you follow. So you had a choice. Yeah. You had a choice to follow these people that was sort of on your feed, while TikTok, the For You page is the main sort of feed, and the For You page is basically the people that you don't know. It's putting power into individuals. While beforehand it was definitely more based on the community and the people that would follow you primarily, probably because your content and your music was good. Now the power was all in, you know, quick transitions or quick little bits of music or like fancy videos or like attractive people on TikTok and stuff. And if your like 15-second video was cool, then you'd get likes and comments, and then the algorithm would go up, and then therefore your music would go up. I want to echo what you're saying about how sort of artists got lost a little bit, because they weren't necessarily thinking about sort of what quote unquote mattered, I guess, in many ways.
You're also putting your entire career in the hands of fate, in the hands of luck and chance.
Yeah.
You know, because we got really discouraged in the pandemic because we would put out music that we thought was really great and put on TikTok. And like in our heads, we're like, well, if it's a good song, like other people will think it's a good song too.
Right. Because
TikTok is for discovery. And it did nothing. Like it was actually embarrassing. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating for us. Like how, and we did it to ourselves with an expectation of, oh, this is going to do well, because we like it, but it actually doesn't work like that. TikTok doesn't work like that. So I just think, it all comes down to, the labels are responding, not creating the demand. And I think,
that is true.
But I do think, though, if the energy and the efforts were focused on gaining real fans, not just gaining followers, then things would have been a little different for artists like myself, who had been around for years before TikTok, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that being said, like, we did have our moment on TikTok, and that was great. It brought us to Asia. It got us a gold record. Like, we had our moment, but it also was really, it was a really toxic moment, because then we expected that. And again, that's our own expectation. But TikTok is a piece of it. It's a very helpful tool. But I think we got very zoomed, we being the industry and most artists in it. Like, and I think a lot of us were kind of demoralized to, you know, doing the things on TikTok that were clickbaity. Like it was a little humiliating. Mm. It's not who everybody is, you know,
right.
But you do what you think is best in the moment. And God, I wish we stuck to our gut in those moments. And I go on TikTok now, not to relate everything back to TikTok, but I see everyone changing who they are to fit into the mold when that was like actually not the point of being an artist. An artist is, you know, their most authentic self, so that it can be an example to everyone who's, you know, in finance or a doctor who wants that escapism. And I think that's our job. So why are we trying to be so rigid, you know?
Mm.
That's the complete opposite of what we should be. So
in this fourth clip, singer and producer Elise Maria discusses the pressure to become influencers on platforms like TikTok. She highlights the growing disconnect between artistic expression and the demands of digital marketing.
So I guess the second question that we also always ask, four out of four
always,
now.
Always, always.
Yeah, always, yeah. Is the Erykah Badu quote, and I quote, "Music and music business are two different things." So I guess because this is a music industry podcast, we like to talk about music business from like an artist perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Music and music business are two different things. So what are your first instincts when you hear that? And yeah.
The first thing that comes to mind for me is like the rise in TikTok. This is like literally the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah, of
there
course.
Are so many musicians coming out being like, why do I have to be an influencer to be a musician nowadays? Like my labels are telling me to post TikToks, they want me to be viral, all these things. And it's like, I just want to make the music. And if it sticks, it sticks. I don't want to have to, you know, do double the work to become like a household name on someone's app. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the first thing that comes to mind because it makes you realize, oh my gosh, it is a business. Like even when it comes to us making TikToks and like doing dances to like, want to catch another flight? Like there is so much like marketing.
Please don't sue us for the 3 seconds of singing.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it's just crazy because there's so much business and like so many things that went on behind the scenes for that even to be like a popular song on TikTok. And
right.
Like, there's even like singers and like musicians having to like pay influencers to dance to it, which is insane.
Yes, that's a whole market by itself.
Yeah,
too.
It's a huge market.
Totally.
So it's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good thing to bring up because I think in the past like week or so, there's been a sort of article or like just artists talking about how they didn't sign up to become these influencers. They signed up to be artists,
yeah.
And they're not getting to do that, or their team is asking them to spend more time on creating content and not their album or whatever. Right?
And it's crazy because it's like they're both two creative things,
yes.
Making videos and editing them. Like it's creative in its own right, but that I feel like that's a huge separation between the music and like the music business,
right?
You know,
do you
like
think,
that's a business side coming out?
Yeah. Do you think that creating content is on the business side of music now?
Yeah, it's like it's the digital marketing side of music now.
Yeah,
which is like really annoying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you find? Well, I mean, as an individual, do you find a balance there? Like, I guess a question there is there such a thing as too much content, or is there such a thing as not enough content, or do you have to find like a balance between the two?
One person that I thought always did way too much content and then it ended up working out for them in the long run was Meghan Trainor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I thought, oh my gosh, these are way too many videos.
Right.
I know too much about you now. Like,
yeah.
You know, it sort of takes away like the mystique of like a musician.
Right.
But now I feel like it worked out in her favor.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. You bring up the word mystique and I find that in the past... I mean, in the past, like, decade or so...
It's gone. Or, like,
it's gone.
Slowly leaving.
It's slowly leaving, and but we still have some artists that are like, I'm so mysterious kind of thing, you know? Like, no, but, like, it just,
I'm
like...
I'm just picturing someone at the bottom of a bridge being like, I'm mysterious.
Yeah. No, but there are those artists that, like, we don't hear from them for like years before they drop their next record.
Yeah, like even Beyonce, for
example. Yeah, but I mean, Beyonce is like a special case because she can do whatever
like look at
the hell
like
she wants kind of thing.
The self-titled album Beyonce that dropped when we were like in high school.
Yes, yeah.
And no one knew that was coming out. Yes. And then bam, it dropped one day, and that was like the biggest album.
Exactly. Or in specific and close to your case, or not your experience, not your case, but your experiences, is like Daniel Caesar or something.
Yeah.
Where sometimes he like deletes his whole Instagram account. And then a couple years later, he like comes back with like some chess stories, you know. And then he's like, I'm gonna drop this album next year or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Are there pros and cons? I think to come back to your Megan like trainer example. I mean, yeah.
I feel like the pro is that fans do feel connected to you, and I feel like there's different generations of fans now. Where I feel like I'm not the generation that they're trying to market to anymore. Like when it comes to TikTok, I feel like younger people, like teenagers and tweens and stuff, they love knowing everything about their celebrity.
Yeah.
Or like their favorite celebrity. And then for us, it's like we grew up where social media was starting to become a thing, but it was mostly just like Instagram at the time, and we never had Instagram stories. It was just posts that they posted on their page.
Right.
So like you saw whatever they posted, but you didn't feel that much closer to them. And then I remember there was like Keek that came out where like Kylie Jenner was huge on that. And it was almost like vlogging and like a minute long videos.
Right.
And I don't know.
Vine.
Yeah. Vine was another one.
I think it's wild. I was thinking on the TTC a couple days ago, random, but
not
I was
sponsored.
Thinking, yeah, not sponsored. Please do TTC. Please do not sponsor this podcast. But no, I was thinking like what is the balance? And more specifically, the more amount of let's say like a Beyonce, even as successful as she is, she still has to interact with her content because at the end of the day, it's her. Because I was thinking, okay, like if an artist is like mega successful, they don't necessarily need to care about content and they don't necessarily need to go to these photo shoots. But that's not necessarily true because they are the product. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That was the thought I had. It was like, how does one sort of avoid the content creation?
But what I will say is I don't think Beyonce's really making content. Like,
yeah, no, that's true.
I feel like for her, her fans, the Beehive, they're just, no matter what happens, they're always talking about Beyonce.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, no, she doesn't have to release music that year. They're still like, oh, my queen.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's like for her, she's able to like focus on like Ivy Park or like her other businesses that she has going on.
Yeah.
Where she's successful enough where she doesn't even have to care. Like she doesn't really have to do anything.
Yeah. There are some of those artists that whatever they do, people will care. And yeah. People will buy that ticket the next time they're in this city.
Are there any like younger musicians, younger than Beyonce, where you're like, oh shoot, they have that impact?
Yeah. Well, one that comes to mind, Harry Styles is a good one. Another one that comes to mind is Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Like Taylor Swift. Like, people are ride or die Taylor Swift. Like,
but I feel like some people are a little bit, like, iffy with Billie now, where, like, once that, like, sophomore album came out, there were a lot of fans that were like, oh, this wasn't for me. Where, like, I feel like, right, yeah. Where I feel like Harry Styles can drop a really crappy album, and then fans would still be like, I love it.
Right.
It's the best thing since sliced bread.
Are you saying that about Harry's house? Oh, is that some tea?
Yes.
Or not even Yas.
No, not even the.
Yeah, tea. Yeah.
I would say I wasn't the biggest fan of Harry's house. I'm not going to lie.
Whoa.
I'm not going to lie. I liked his first album the most.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just because I
One Direction, yeah.
I loved Live While We're Young.
In this fourth clip, guitarist Horace Bray shares how social media has revolutionized the music industry, discussing his own experience with viral moments, the importance of authentic content, and connecting with fans.
But Horace, I wanted to speak to the social media part of your career. I find it's fascinating. And you know, I know some of my guitar friends knew you before I knew you because of social media, specifically. Can you speak to that rise, quote unquote? And do you remember the video or post or moment that really just blew up, kind of thing?
I mean, the first one that blew up wasn't really even on Instagram. It was on Facebook. And it was this video where I was playing like this 3/4/5 polyrhythm.
Yeah.
And it like got really big on a bunch of these like prog forums on Facebook. That was the first time I was just like, oh, the internet's kind of cool. This is, sure. This is sick. And yeah, but like when I was first moved to New York, I was really trying to gamify it. Like I knew I wanted to, like, it was a good thing that like I'd had some stuff that had gone well, but that was much more like felt like happenstance.
Yeah.
And it was just like a lucky chance that it hit. I was like, I need to keep that going. So I made a list of like 7 or 8 videos that I would kind of alternate in between. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do 3 or 4 a week. I'm going to do like a lesson video. Then I'm going to do a pop cover. Then I'm going to do a loop video. I'm going to do something where I'm like doing educational thing, a jazz standard. And I would like kind of alternate through those.
Yes.
And try to keep it going. And eventually it's like you burn out. That's just kind of what happens. It's so hard to keep that going. But yeah, no, that was I think it's, especially with the way TikTok is now and stuff.
Yeah.
It is the best form of free marketing. Free, you know, it doesn't cost you money. It costs you
a lot of time,
know, maybe mentality, like, you know, mental health and time.
Yeah.
But it's the free, like, there's no other way that you can have a chance of getting 20 million people to see your thing. You know, there's a reason why, like, you know, I remember there was some artist that my friend was producing. It wasn't even producing for him yet. He did his first song and it's like, he just produced it himself and he had it blow up on TikTok and he got, it was like 25,000 resaves.
I see.
The song got millions and millions and millions of views. Yeah. It was a great song.
Sure. So
that's the key part. It's like he had the viral moment and could like, yeah, follow up with it.
I think arguably it has to be. It always has, yeah, to come back to the song to get continuous plays and continuous views.
Yeah.
It's like I don't want to say it's harder to get the viral moment, but once you get that viral moment, you better be sure that the song
Which is so funny because it's kind of create a flipped thing where now it's like you get the viral moment, you finish the song.
Yeah, yes.
That it was for.
Yeah.
And then you learn how to perform a lot of the time. Because some of these people have never played on a stage. Some have.
Yeah.
Some have. But a lot of them haven't. And it used to be you get really good at performing. You write a bunch of songs. Oh, the song is really good. Therefore, it does well. Then it gets the viral moment. It's completely backwards now.
Yeah.
Which now it's kind of beautiful that something was able to flip it that much.
Yeah, I think it's nuts. I think like the whole thing right now where it's like people are doing like, hey, check out this demo. And then they base their sort of release schedule off of how that TikTok performed or something. It's like, I think it's smart artistically, you know, not how it was before, but it's so interesting to me that it's like, okay, we'll base whether or not we put out the song by what people think about it months beforehand.
Yeah, crazy. But maybe not that crazy. Maybe I'm just getting old and I'm like, that's not how it used to be.
Well, no, for sure. It's mind-blowing that this is where we're at.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. But I mean, social media, I think, is super valuable. I mean, nowadays, I post like fun live clips that I think are cool.
Yes.
I'm trying to like record more stuff with like my trio and put that out. I think I'm going to have another video that's like done getting edited this week.
Nice.
I'm just trying to I really want to be spending my time like teaching at colleges, doing like clinics and playing music that I make with my friends that like I really care about. And that's kind of where I'm at with it now. So everything in social media is like trying to funnel to that as much as it can.
We hope you enjoyed looking back on some more highlight clips on the topic of social media in the music industry. We'll be posting each of these clips on YouTube throughout the week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cloud Machine Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, subscribe, or whatever you need to do to keep updated on the music industry. See you next week.